Hey, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Liz.
We want to tell you about our podcast, Let Go, Let Flow, which is a girlfriend's appreciation podcast. You remember that show on UPN? It had Tracee Ellis Ross, Jo Marie Jones,
Holden Brooks, Persia White, also known as Tony, Maya, Lynn, and Joan,
and Darnell's trifling ass. So join us as we revisit this iconic show.
Yeah, and like, rate, and subscribe to us on iTunes. You can follow us on Google Play as well, and follow us on SoundCloud.
Yeah, so please do all that. We appreciate it, and we'll see you at Joan's house.
The door is unlocked.
Yes, the door is unlocked. Welcome to another episode of The Lemonade Show. This is your host, Stephanie, and I'm here to unfortunately remind you that the world is still burning. That's still going on. 45 is still in office, and that impeachment party has not begun yet. But even if it did, then you have to deal with, what's his name, Mike Pence. And honestly, one or two things needs to happen. Either, you know, Trump is like, I forget the name of the character in Time Cop, but the one that kept going back to steal money to fund his presidential election. And wow, what a, who wrote that and thought that was brilliant? Anyways, yeah, so maybe he's him, and then, you know, maybe he can Time Cop himself and then we'll be done with it. Or maybe some xenomorphs really do exist and they'll find their way to the White House. I'm not sure, but unfortunately now, being a woman is a pre-existing condition, according to the new healthcare act that they're trying to pass, if they haven't already passed it. It's just, it's a mess. But let me get away from that, because hopefully you guys came to, not even necessarily for escapism, but, you know, some other drama to keep your mind off of that drama. And that I do have, because the last time I spoke to you guys, it was about chewing gum. But before that, it was about the Crew comic, Black Panther and the Crew, which I've been reading. And y'all know how I felt about that, just because of the way that Misty was being written in that. And it continued in issue two. But before I get into that, I learned the other day that it's been canceled, which y'all would think that I'd be somewhere doing a jig, but like, I'm kind of not, because so there's four issues remaining. So they do still have a chance to, I guess, wrap the story up. At least that's what Ta-Nehisi Coates said, that they will be able to figure out the mystery. But, you know, Richard Spencer's surrogate, Nick Spencer, is still making, you know, politically charged comics for worse than for better. And Brian, I Have Black Kids, Bendis, is still writing everything for Marvel. So I don't see this as a win. I wasn't necessarily a fan of the comic, but also it's only two issues in, so it's not a ton to go off of as far as, like, you know, to wrap it up and view it as its whole. So although I am going to talk about issue two, I'm once again going to try to remain as objective as possible, but I'm going to be real with y'all. I'm just not. I mean, you know, at least I'm owning it. So let's talk about issue two. So I did appreciate, and this is like super light spoilers. And this is like, and by super light, I mean like it's supposed to rain outside, but it's not yet. But you do get hit with like one or two droplets. This is probably what this is. But I mean, either way, you'll be fine. So I did appreciate that Storm narrating this, and it kind of retcons her history a little bit. Like, you know, we knew before that she had roots in Harlem, but this kind of explores it more. And then we keep going, and she's still with Misty, and Misty again has got me saying, oh no, Misty, what are you doing? What are you doing, sis? What is this? So she and Storm are having a conversation about what it's like to live in the world as marginalized people. And Misty only sees herself as a Black person. That's it. Not or it's not explicitly said. She doesn't say that I'm also a woman and I'm also disabled. That's never mentioned. So instead, when Storm tries to bring up, you know, well, what if you're black and a mutant? Then Misty tells her, like, you know, don't give her that intersectional privilege crap. Y'all, what the fuck is intersectional privilege? What is that? So go on this journey with me for a moment, and then I'm going to bring it back to being objective and not in my feelings about this. But for those words to leave the one black woman that is in this book that actually has many intersections, she's, again, a black woman. She is also disabled. For her to say intersectional privilege, I just, like, how and for what? And I was speaking to somebody the other day, and it's just, you know, I guess trying to reason with why Misty would say something like that because of the era that she is from, you know, the 70s or whatever, blaxploitation, all of that, and a lot of respectability politics, this, that, and the third. But it's also, you can argue this both ways, because you can see, you can say that Misty Knight is street level and, you know, street smart and so on and so forth. But that's kind of a knock in saying that people that are street smart and, you know, very street level with a lot of ways that they do stuff would not know something about intersectionality, because people do have access to the internet. A lot of stuff that you might know now, you probably didn't know until you got on Twitter, until you got on the internet, until you read that that article or something like that. So that, I'm not really, like, that doesn't really stand on solid ground. That's also not, to me, valid enough reason to have your one character in the Marvelverse who is a disabled black woman say some shit like that. That's not a good look to me. And personally, I feel like this is a case of, and forgive me, no, don't forgive me, because I said what I said, that either Coates or Yana Harvey don't really know Misty Knight, the character. Like, they just don't know her like that. They clearly know Storm. They clearly know Black Panther. They clearly know Luke Cage. But they just don't know Misty like that. So this is just really a case of, I have this character here. I'm seeing her as a blank slate. Let me just have her say whatever the hell it is I feel like I want her to say, to move the story along. And also, what does this add to the story? Because I was going to say to move the story along, but I'm really not sure how this moves the story along. If anything, maybe it gives introspection into how differently black people think. Cool, fine, but Misty didn't have to be that character to do that, because, again, she is a disabled black woman, and what a swing and a miss, because there is a lot more that could have been done with her character from jump. And yes, I understand. She used to be a cop. The word is used to. We are introduced to Misty after her arm is blown off, after she gets her cybernetic arm, and after she's not a detective anymore. So I'm just kind of confused as to, you know, so would she still keep those ideals? I don't know. We don't know, because we still don't have, again, a actual true origin for Misty Knight and why it's needed so much. Because perhaps, maybe if we had that, I'm not saying that it would make her saying intersectional privilege not sound any more as hattier than it does, but if anything, maybe it would give some context to that. But this is just really, to me, a case of, hey, we've got this character, I see her as a blank slate, let's do whatever the hell we want to do. And it's just not fitting. It just honestly is not. Yeah. So because there are going to be four remaining issues on this, I'm probably just going to put a pin in it there, just because, one, I want to see how this actually does end up turning out and what happens. I honestly don't think four issues is enough time to have Misty resolve some of her lack of knowing, or the way that she feels about, you know, a black man dying in custody and being by the code and so on and so forth. Like, I don't think that's enough, but maybe somehow they can pull it off. But I also feel like this brings up the topic of Marvel's continue, and I'm pretty sure they're not the only company that does it, but I'm talking about Marvel right now, that, you know, want to continue to hire people outside of comics to write their comics. And specifically when they hire Black folks to write comics, they've been really going for Black people who are established writers in academia. There are pros and cons to that. I feel like the crew is kind of showing the cons to that. But once again, I want to wait until the rest of the series kind of plays out to really, you know, I guess, argue for or against that. And then also, it's not like it doesn't work, right? Because Roxane Gay, for the first five issues of World of Wakanda, really did a great job with that story. And it shows, because she actually said that she did a lot of research on the Dora Milaje. And it shows a lot, because you can see their evolution. It feels natural and normal. And she even goes back and she references some things that happened earlier and gives more backstory to some panels that we, you know, might have seen in past issues, and just more story as to what happened. And really making, you know, two members, and actually Dora Milaje as a whole, three-dimensional characters, which they really haven't been before. So that I appreciate. I actually wouldn't mind if they did decide to continue to move forward. I definitely would like to see Shuri written by a woman. Yeah. So I would like to see that happen, and for her to, especially now that she has her new power set, for her to have her own solo run again, because she did kind of have that with Hudlin. So I would be very interested to see that. And I would like a Black woman to write that. So I won't hold my breath on that. But that, or even to see the Midnight Angels and to give them a little bit more backstory, because we're just kind of introduced to them in Doom War. And that's it. And I thought they were pretty cool. So, I mean, there's things that can be done. Look, if Richard Spencer's surrogate, Nick Spencer, can be out here, you know, just wilding, turning Captain America into a Nazi and blah, 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 then, you know, y'all can figure this shit out. So that's that. Yeah, so if anything, I will probably end up writing something on this. I just, because it's kind of fascinating the way this is kind of going. And it's actually a lot to kind of unpack with what's going on with Black Panther and the crew, not just with Misty Knight, but just, I don't know, as a whole. So I, once again, I want to wait until the series is over, and then I'll really be able to sit down with my thoughts and just kind of get things out there and try to put this together. But I do appreciate the fact that this is creating conversations, which is nice. Yeah, so I guess that is that. Last week, something moved on, something a little bit more cheerier. Last week was Free Comic Book Day, Saturday to be exact, and it was fun. I did go. I actually showed up pretty early, I think before the store even opened. So we were outside standing, and actually let us in a few minutes early because for whatever reason, last Saturday here in Charlotte was chilly. So we got in early, got to rummage through. I believe we got 5 free comics from the bin that they had, and then of course 5 of the comics that were offered on Free Comic Book Day. Unfortunately, Catalyst Prime was not at the store that I went to, so I picked up some other stuff, and I actually went ahead and went on eBay and purchased the Catalyst Prime book that was offered on Free Comic Book Day. So yeah, it's serious because I kind of want to know what's going on, but. A quick story, ended up walking away with a sponsorship for Misty Knight's Uninformed Afro. No, I didn't bring it up while I was there, but there was a gentleman that I had spoke to the last couple of times that I was there when I was looking for, I think, Vixen Comics for an episode of MKUA. Yeah, so I had spoke to him about Vixen and just kind of what Misty Knight's Uninformed Afro was. And then we just kind of geeked out some more about other comic stuff. And then I'd see him subsequently a few times when I would go and sort of pick up comics from my pull list. So I'd seen him again on Free Comic Books Day. And he was pretty much telling me, you know, how he really enjoyed Misty Knight's Uninformed Afro. He got his wife to listen. She really enjoys it. And just asking, you know, when season 2 was coming out and so on. So, and that he had been telling customers and recommending the show to them. So I thought that was pretty cool and pretty dope because, you know, thank you. This says a lot when somebody recommends something that you do to someone else especially without you even having to ask. That speaks volumes. So that was pretty cool. And then the very next day, Sunday, I got an email, you know, saying, hey, we would like to talk about a sponsorship for Misty Knight's Uninformed Afro. So that was pretty cool, because never not once that I bring up anything about sponsorship or just any of that in general. So I just thought that was pretty cool. And you just really never know who you're talking to and what can come of that. So that was really nice. And just Free Comic Book Day in general was just fun, because you got to see a lot of people who probably heard a few people saying, like, this is the first time that they've gone and they don't really read comics, but they want to get into it, and just a bunch of stuff. So I thought that was nice, because for a lot of people, Free Comic Book Day is a great way for them to get into reading comics. And I like that. I know some folks don't, which is crazy to me, but you want more readers so that your comics can continue to thrive. I mean, Black Panther and the Crew just got canceled, among a lot of other titles that continually get canceled because they can't find their audience. And their audience might actually be out there. They just don't read comics yet, because they don't know whether or not they like them, or they don't know where to start. So, I mean, that's just my little tidbit on that. But Free Comic Book Day was fun. And the reason why I was so thirsty to get Catalyst Prime is because Noble issue 1 actually premiered that same week of Free Comic Book Day, that Wednesday, and I love it. Like, I knew I had a good feeling that I would enjoy it, just because I kind of trust, you know, what they're doing at Lion Forge with this entire universe. But it was really good. Like, it opens with a Black woman, it closes with a Black woman. And the issue introduces us to David Powell, whom I'm assuming is one of the astronauts that was involved in the mission that we learn about more in Catalyst Prime. So while I can't speak to it yet, hopefully when I read it, you know, it'll help me tie him into that. I did notice that there was minimal writing in this issue, which was not a bad thing. I actually appreciated that, because it really gave the artist a chance to convey the story. And Robinson, who is the artist on this, really did a great job of doing that. There are a lot of action set pieces, and they're fun. They're great. The colors pop, and the colorist, his name is actually Juan Fernandez. He does a wonderful job. And again, even though there wasn't a lot of writing, the writing that was there, Brandon Thomas did a really great job at, hey, letting the artist tell the story, as well as him telling, you know, giving, you know, the story structure as well with the writing. So just overall, just a really great job. And I can't wait to read Noble issue 2. I believe Excel issue 1 is going to be out next month. That one, I believe it features, which looks like the wife on the front cover, skydiving from somewhere. So I'm here for Catalyst Prime. I'm here for this universe. I'm here for what Lion Forge is doing. And I'm looking forward to it. This is why, like, when stuff happens with Marvel or it happens with DC, I'm just like, okay. Because we're living in a time right now where if you're not getting something from one thing, then you really don't have to suffer and just support it because it is Black, or it does have a person of color or something behind it from these big two. Like, you really don't have to put up with it. Like, you don't. You don't have to grin it and bear it and, you know, purchase and support something that you really don't feel all that passionate about, because there are other stories, there are other publishers that are putting out great content that is worth your time and your money, which both are very valuable. So, I mean, that's not something to take away lightly, just to throw away just for the hell of it. So yeah, I think that is kind of it for comics. America Chavez issue 3 came out, and personally, I'm enjoying that series so far. I think I've seen a couple negative things about it, but I guess y'all, but I'm enjoying it so far. So if you are on a Marvel strike, you know, issues, I mean, titles like America Chavez, The Ultimates, and Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur for the most part, and Ms. Marvel for sure, really make it worth it to at least pick up those titles, because I mean they're being well written and the stories are interesting, so you know there's that. So I guess moving on to something that I don't really usually talk about, but I'm going to talk about today, and that is the video game world because of Injustice 2. So if you haven't seen already, images were released of a very ashy looking Vixen, her cousin Ash Cat. So Vixen isn't even a downloadable character in this game, or you know, like the extra digital content that they usually provide. That's not even the case. In fact, she is just a skin for another character named Cheetah. So that's her power set. Whatever Cheetah's power set is hers, which is crazy because Vixen's power set is way better, but I digress. And John Stewart actually received the same treatment too. He's also a skin. So I don't know if people know this. It might be a big secret, but you know, black women play video games too. Surprise, right? And I don't get it. Like there are like 42 some odd characters, I think, that are all male. 9 of them are women. And then the one black woman that you could potentially play with is actually a skin for another character. Like, what the hell? What are y'all doing? And it's not like Vixen couldn't have been in that game. She definitely could have been in the game as a downloadable, downloadable content, as a downloadable character, whatever. She definitely could have been in it. And also, you know who else could have been in it? Amanda Waller. And don't tell me that she couldn't, because you got Harley Quinn in there. Last time I checked, she wasn't a metahuman. Mm-hmm. You have Bruce Batman in there. Last time I checked, he also wasn't a metahuman. There's the Joker. There are a lot of people in there that aren't necessarily, don't have a metahuman's power set, but they're in that game. So Amanda definitely could have been in there. You could have given her a shotgun, some other artillery. One of her special moves could have been calling on the Suicide Squad. Hell, I even said she can give Deadshot a dollar and he could just take out whoever the opponent is. Like, there's a lot that could be done. If you really, really wanted to, like, there is a lot that could be done. The only woman of color, I mean, the only character on that game that even remotely looks like a black woman, more so than Vixen actually does, is Starfire, whom, in my opinion, has always been a woman of color to me. So, you don't debate me, don't at me, but that's just how I've felt. But anyway, yeah, so I don't know what Injustice 2 is doing, because like they definitely could have had Amanda in there. They could have actually for real put Vixen in there, and Bumblebee could have been there too. And you know, she could have been there. There's things that you could have. She's a scientist. If Bruce Batman has gadgets, Bumblebee can have some extra ass gadgets too. So there is that. So just continually on white people. White people continue to cosplay as people of color. So the Nihal movie, which is about a Hawaiian World War II hero, please forgive me for butchering that name because I'm about to butcher this one too. It's about the hero named, you know what, for the sake of not sounding like a jackass, the main character's name is Ben. The last name is spelled K-A-N-E-H-E-L-E. Yeah, I'm not about to, because they're already going through it right now with this white dude playing him. So I am not going to add to that and mess this man's name up. But if I do actually end up hearing it, then I'll come back and I'll insert that. But so they cast Bradley Cooper with the Dirty Lace Front, a.k.a. Zach McGowan, as him. So, of course, white people in this defense saying things like, well, if Idris can be James Bond, then blah, blah, blah. Or if Nick Fury can be black, then okay, they're fictional characters. That's one. This is a real life person who, so there's two totally different things. Two different things. But I mean, y'all keep cooking. His brother the other night decided to go on Twitter and make an even more ass of himself, because I guess he thought that bringing up his brother's receipts on all the times that he's been involved with whitewashing of the character with help, and it didn't. All you did was just give us, one, you just showed us that Zach McGowan is a habitual whitewasher. So you really didn't help. And then I guess my whole thing to that is just, you know, at what point do these actors and actresses stop taking roles they're tan enough for? Like, just because simply knowing that the blame will be put on the higher ups, the execs. Because at one point, you know, when do you start saying no? And I know people have to eat and they shouldn't turn down a check and all of so on and so forth, but you're white. You probably will get other acting gigs. Personally, I'm not giving any type of sympathy or any passes or anything like that. Like, you know better. Like, this is a person. Like, this is an actual real person. You're definitely white. They're Hawaiian. The fuck are you doing? That's plain and simple. Like, to me, there's no justification for that, period. That's it. End of conversation. Okay. And just, like, this whole year and last year has proven to us that, you know, beautiful things happen when people of color can actually tell their own stories and actually be representative on the screen when telling their own stories. For instance, Master of None season 2 just premiered this past weekend. I just finished season 1 and I enjoyed it. It's wonderful. And I've heard that season 2 is even better than season 1. So hopefully, I don't know if I'll be binging the rest of that today, but eventually I'll get to it. But like, it's do more of that. I finally watched the movie Front Cover, which stars Jake Choi and James Shin. And it's a gorgeous film. It tackles the difference between Asians and Asian Americans, sexuality, and just cultural differences between the two. And it's a bittersweet love story. So, and there is queer representation there. So beautiful things happen when people of color get to tell their stories and also be on the screen to tell those stories as well. So I just stop. White people, y'all got all the things. I'm like, are you that bored that now you have to continually cosplay as real life people? Like, this shit just make no sense at all. All right. So speaking of successful people of color telling their stories, I don't know when we get in Atlanta season 2, because Donald Glover is going to be doing, or rumored, or he is confirmed that he'll be doing an animated series of Deadpool for FX. So while that is dope and amazing news, I have no idea when we're getting Atlanta season 2. It's not looking good. It's really not. And I'm happy that he is flourishing. It is amazing. That is great. But I really want Atlanta season 2. Badly. I think a lot of us do. So hopefully that happens. And so last two things. There's a Vixen novella, because I think it's like 40, 45 minutes long. I'm not sure, but it's a Vixen novella that will be released this month, May 23rd. It's comprised of the first two seasons of the CWC digital series, and also it's going to be an additional 15 minutes of all new, never before seen content. Okay, one, y'all couldn't just do something brand new. Like, because this is just basically recycled stuff with a couple, and then you just inserted something new, like 15 minutes worth. That's one knock. Two, y'all, I mean, no, nothing, like, just nothing, huh? Just couldn't do anything new. Okay, that's fine. But on top of that, if this is your first time hearing about it, it's because they've done a horrible job at advertising it, which makes no sense, because there are so many black women led nerd outlets out here. Like, if you really wanted to push this, you could have reached out to a lot of them and said, hey, do you guys mind promoting this, or just something? So either one or two things. One, they just don't care, which I'm inclined to believe, or the marketing team is just full of a bunch of newborn babies. Either way, it's a loss on them, because while I have my feelings about the CWC Vixen digital series, I do still watch it. I mean, it's about all I'm going to get anyway, and they could have figured that out. And I guess keeping things with the CW, Riverdale, the first season just wrapped up. I don't know what happened, because I still need to catch up on the last two or three episodes. I'm a little behind, but I will say overall, I thought the show was fine. And that's me saying that without watching the last two or three episodes. I really hope that Josie gets more of a storyline in season two. Also, they actually do something with Sabrina. And lastly, I know that they replaced the character Reggie, but they did replace him with another Asian American actor. So kudos to them on that. Because honestly, I didn't think they would. I didn't, but they did. So good for them. And I would just like to close this episode up by maybe a small rant. Actually, two things, so I'm lying. But let me get this one thing and I'll just wrap it up on a nice and sweet note. So yeah, so it's something I've been noticing, or actually I've been noticing, it's just irritating. And the reason why I'm saying something now, because something happened the other day and it just really got on my last damn nerve. And you know, that's men, and specifically black men in the nerd space, telling black women in the nerd space what they should be speaking out on. Okay. 9 times out of 10, when y'all attach us to stuff or you know, at us with different things, we've probably already seen it. We've probably already talked about it, for one. So like if there's something that deserves a side eye, it needs to be addressed, please know like 9 times out of 10, we've probably already talked about it, or we're in the midst of talking about it. The thing is that usually, and I'm not saying, I'm not going to generalize, but there are a good amount that it's just that you, and that's a capital U, Y-O-U, aren't paying attention to our work and the work that we're putting in. And that's frustrating because, yeah, that is very frustrating. Because if you would just do a quick perusal of someone's timeline, or if you would just do a Twitter search, or if you would go to our websites, or you would read our blogs or editorials, or you would listen to our podcast, then you would know that that thing that you felt so that's so important that we needed to talk about, we already have. In fact, it would help more if you spoke out about it too, and stop tagging people to our threads or whatever, especially these bigger names, and inviting jackasses to our mentions, because you already know how things go down when it comes to a black woman speaking out on Twitter about something, or just on the internet, period. You already know how that goes, and you will be nowhere to be found when we have to deal with these jackasses. So just stop doing that shit. That's annoying. Don't do it. If you feel as though we've missed something, then it's fine to let us know, but just this overall assumption that of what we should be talking about or where our concerns should be is irritating as fuck. And it comes off that way sometimes. I mean, it might come from a well-meaning place, but I really don't see a lot of times black women doing that to black men. I just don't. I don't. And I'm sorry if I'm hurting anybody's feelings, but I'm just telling you what it looks like, what it feels like. There are other women in these geek spaces that I talk to all the time, and they tell me like, did that happen? And I'm like, yeah. So this is a like a recurring thing, and it's just irritating, like, because to me it's like you're not really paying attention. You're not paying attention to the work that we're doing, because if you were, then you would know. Now, there's sometimes people just don't know, or they're just now coming back into, you know, the timeline, and they just miss a lot of stuff, and they just, you know, want to make sure that you know, we're aware. But I'm just asking you, in the time that it takes you to tag us to stuff, this is the same time you could have put in to just search first and make sure that, you know, just to check out whether or not we've talked about it, because I can assure you more than likely we have. So yeah, so that's my little rant. But I just want to end this, because I'm actually recording this on Mother's Day. I just want to say, I know that this holiday can be tough and rough for a lot of people. So for those of you that are going through it on Mother's Day, you know, my heart is with you, and I hope that you make it through this day, and I hope that you are surrounded by people that understand what you're going through. And for those of you that are celebrating Mother's Day, you know, congratulations. You are doing the best that you can, and you are deserving of all the love that you received today and, you know, days to come. So thank you all for joining me on another episode of The Lemonade. If you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe and rate on Apple Podcasts, because it's not Apple iTunes, or it's not iTunes anymore. It's something else. So Apple, whatever. iTunes, because this is what I'm calling it right now, and I have to redo everything because of that. Also, SoundCloud, follow, leave comments, and also Audioboom is another place where you can listen to this podcast. So thank you guys for the support. If you're a patron, I just uploaded another episode of the Iron Fist recap, so good luck listening to that because it's a doozy to record. But yeah, so thank you guys. I hope that again, to all the moms, I hope that you have a wonderful Mother's Day, and I'll catch you all later.